And each week of this wonderful podcast, we get to hear a little bit more about Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And I love these because we get to hear kind of how much they actually do, like what goes into when you flip that light switch, how much actually goes in behind that so that it turns on. And today's is no exception to that rule because we are joined by Cindy Music. And Cindy is the Director of Vegetation Management. Cindy, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
So I think I would be like a lot of our viewers and listeners and have no idea what vegetation management is. So can you please tell us, how did you become involved with vegetation management, REC, and tell us a little bit of your background?
Sure. Well, to answer your first question, vegetation management is just like it sounds. Trees and grasses and brush grow up in our power line rights of ways, and if they're not properly managed, can interrupt power. In fact, trees cause about 2/3 of power outages at REC and at most utilities. So we do exactly what it sounds like, and that is, you know, trim trees and sometimes cut down trees and mow and bush hog and do all kinds of activities related to vegetation. Your second question was about my background, and I guess I went to forestry school about 100 years ago, you know, give or take, but and so I started out as a forester in life and ended up in utility forestry at a utility to our north in DC and was there 12 years. And, you know, it was one of those things where you think I'm going to stay there a year because, you know, it'll be great experience. And 12 years later at another degree and, you know, all that. So took a few years off to be home with children and then was fortunate enough to stumble into Rappahannock Electric about 9 years ago and was hired as a field forester in our Blue Ridge office and worked, you know, out with tree crews, talking to property owners and our members for about 7 years, and then a promotion opportunity came available a couple years ago, and I applied, and here I am. So we have a team of 9 foresters plus myself. 6 are in-house, 3 are contractors, and like I said, they're out every day talking to our members, talking about trees, talking about sustainability, and, you know, how we go about the work that we do.
So cool.
That's incredible. Now, protecting the power lines is essential to providing reliable electric services. Can you talk a little bit about what measures REC takes to ensure a reliable service while protecting the environment at the same time?
Sure. There's, I guess, 2 core processes that we do. And one is on a 5-year cycle, every tree gets looked at and either trimmed or taken down that are adjacent to our lines. And so on any given year, we have about 7,500 miles of line system-wide. And so on any given year, on a 5-year cycle, that's about 1,500 miles of trimming that gets done. So far this year, we've done about 350 miles. And what that means is it's folks out with bucket trucks and they're trimming trees according to how fast growing they are. So for example, a maple tree can put on 30 feet in a 5-year cycle. An oak is somewhere closer to 10. So our crews know the difference between tree growth rates and site conditions, meaning so a tree at the bottom of a slope where it gets a lot of water, a lot of sun is going to grow a lot faster than a tree maybe in a thin soil on the top of a hill. So again, we take into consideration the species, the site conditions, and you know, growing conditions, and then we trim accordingly. So we do that. And then we also have a team of foresters that are out responding to customer requests. So we get thousands of folks that call in or email or use their Smart Hub app on their phone to request tree pruning. And at REC, a person actually, a qualified arborist or forester actually goes out and looks at every single request. And so we make the evaluation whether, you know, first if it's an REC line or not. Sometimes people call in and it's communications. And then we move on to, you know, what exactly we need to do. We try to put most of the work during that routine maintenance, because, you know, basically the cavalry's there. You know, there's bucket trucks and bush hogs and people chipping brush with chippers and everything. But if it's not going to wait until that next maintenance cycle, then we have crews that go in and take care of that work. And then we also, you know, 5 years is a long time not to put eyes on trees. And so to supplement that work, we have a set of foresters that go out at about the 2.5-3 year cycle, and they're actually physically walking the lines. They're going up into the woods and about 20 feet on either side of the line, and they're looking for trees that we deem hazardous, meaning if they were to fall from outside the right of way, they're going to impact our lines. And so we have crews assigned to that work as well. We call that our mid-cycle inspection program. And then in addition to that, you know, we have herbicide work that goes on. We have helicopter pruning that goes on. We do lots of things in the community, like an Arbor Day tree planting almost yearly. We give away a lot of trees every year to our members. And but our core business is keeping the lights on. And so we really take that personally and make sure that any tree that we think can possibly impact our facilities and our members' reliability, we try to take care of that proactively before the outage happens.
That is incredible. I would have never thought that much goes into it. You know, you see the bucket trucks on the side of the road trimming and things like that. As you're talking, there's one tree on mine road that I pass every day, and it is the funkiest looking tree, and it is perfectly cut to go down and around the line. And I always think, like, why did they just put that whole thing down? But anyway, how do you effectively manage that vegetation across, I mean, y'all are in 22 counties. How does REC serve all 22 of those?
That's such a great question, because it is a lot of miles. 7,500 miles is a big space, right? And it's almost overwhelming. But we have three service center offices, one in Bowling Green, one in Culpeper, and one in our Blue Ridge office up in Front Royal. And so each of those service center offices has a team of two foresters in-house, supplemented with a contract forester, and they own it. They know those lines, and they work in partnership with our overhead linemen. So, you know, there's only two people at each office, but we have a cadre of linemen. So they're our partners. And if they see something, they say something. So if they're out, you know, doing some other maintenance work or doing some construction or, you know, upgrades or what have you, and they see a tree they think is an issue or a vine or what have you, they're great about getting in touch with our foresters and saying, you know, I was out at this spot and maybe you should take a look at this, or, you know, this needs to go today, you know, because some tree work is immediate, right? You know, it's uprooting or it's splitting or what have you. And some of it, you know, it's a judgment call. And so, you know, again, we try to schedule as much as we can efficiently, but sometimes you just need a tree crew right then and there.
Wow, I definitely learned a lot today.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any partnerships? I think you guys have one with some type of like a research institute or something like that for electric power.
We do. I'm a researcher part-time, and we, late last year and into this year, have had the opportunity to partner with a university, a private analytics group that's in Germany called LIBEO. The university is West Virginia University. And then we've also partnered with EPRI, which is the Electric Power Research Institute. And it's a threefold approach looking at three of our worst performing circuits. And we're looking at segments within those worst performing circuits. So from a pole to a pole is what we call a span. And so these are numerous spans on three circuits that just aren't doing the best. And most of their outages are related to trees. So we're actually looking at satellite data and drone data and LiDAR data and all kinds of interesting, almost information overload, with analytics, because you can really find out a lot with the EPRI project, for instance. We're looking with satellites that are 372 miles above the Earth, and they're actually looking at chlorophyll approximations within the leaf surface of the trees. So the project that we did with EPRI, they identified trees that they thought were hazardous or in decline. And in decline just means, they could be stressed from environmental conditions. They could have, some kind of disease from or infestation from insects. Anyway, so they identified 100 trees. And last July, our team of foresters actually went out to ground truth or verify those. So we had latitude and longitude points. We went out, we found the trees. They had about an 80% in some cases accuracy rate.
Wow.
Of them going, these trees have a leading red edge, using hyperspectral data light, and they're sick and you need to take a look at them. And to me, it's just mind-boggling that you can use satellite data for 372 miles up to identify, it's a game changer. So we're so excited to continue that this year. And we are probably going to be partnering with some other utilities on the East Coast to do that. We've also partnered with West Virginia University, their forestry department, and their GIS and drone. They have a drone lab there. And they have come over and flown the same sections of line looking at LiDAR data, which just means, what does the ground elevation look like? And what is the slope? And how many trees would impact the lines if they were to fail? So when you couple that with, the ground truthing data, and then you piggyback that on with satellite data, and then the German folks that we have instituted a pilot with, LiveEO, also look at change detection. So they look at the amount of chlorophyll on the leaf surface on the tree from one year to the next, and what happened within the last year. And so, sometimes it's very obvious and you can go look at those trees. So, the whole business of this is trying to get proactive. If 2/3 of your outages are caused from trees off the right of way, you need to do something different, and you need to use every kind of science and technology that's at your fingertips, and work with partners, new folks that look at things differently. So that's what we're doing. It's so exciting. Awesome. I could go on another day.
No, we love it. That's awesome.
More questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible how much effort you guys are going to maintain reliability as well as sustainability. So thank you so much for all that you guys are doing to make sure that we have reliable lines and taking care of those trees. Because I know that we just had an ice storm a few weeks ago. The result of that work that you guys do was very evident. Anna and I are both on Rappahannock Electric Cooperative Power. We had zero outages. So yeah. Woohoo, go REC.
Well, and trees have a lot to do with it. But in this case, ice had a lot to do with it, with that particular storm. And we were fortunate to just be a little bit far north of where the really heavy ice was. And some of our sister cooperatives took it pretty hard. So that was, we went in to help, and always happy to do that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Cindy. And next we're going to hear from our business spotlight. Thanks, Cindy.